20. God has not left them. Context. October 7, 1905 was a unique Sabbath. This letter was to be read in all Seventh-day Adventist churches, and a special collection was to be taken for the work among blacks in the South. September 28, 1905. Dear brethren and sisters, I am thankful that the General Conference has set apart the first Sabbath in October as a day upon which a general contribution will be taken up in all our churches for the advancement of the work among the colored people of the southern states. I have great hope that this important work will receive substantial help as the result of this collection. I am working, praying, and hoping for this, and I shall leave the result with God. Some may say that the work in the southern states is already receiving from the General Conference more than its share of attention, more than its proportion of men and means. But if the South were not a neglected, needy field, if there were not a pressing necessity for more work to be done there in many different lines, why should the Lord keep the question constantly before His people, as He has done for so many years? Over and over again, the Lord has presented before me the pioneer work that must be done in new territory. When a difficult field is presented before me as one that must receive special attention, I understand that it is my duty to make this field my special burden, until, before the earnest, continuous efforts put forth, the difficulties disappear and the work is established. The work among the colored people in the southern field, with its encouraging and discouraging features, has been kept before me for many years. While in Australia, I earnestly called upon my brethren and sisters in America to awake to the responsibility resting upon them to carry the third angel's message to this neglected race. And since my return to this country, I have borne a similar message in every place where I have been. I have an intense interest in all that concerns the welfare of the work among the colored people. Few realize the magnitude of the work that must be done among the colored people. In the South, there are millions who have never heard the third angel's message. These must be given the light of present truth. And it is because of the neglect of our people to take hold of this work heartily that the Lord has instructed me to continue making appeals in their behalf. At one time, I felt as if I could no longer bear the burden of this work. I thought that if men would continue to do as they have done, I would let matters drift and let those who have so much confidence in their own plans go on as they choose to go. I intended merely to pray that the Lord would have mercy upon the ignorant and those who are out of the way. But I dared not lay down the burden, for in the visions of the night, the Lord asked me the question, "Will you do that which many would be only too pleased to see you doing? Will you keep silent? Will your voice no longer be heard, presenting clearly and distinctly the needs of this long-neglected field? If so, you yourself will share the reproach that rests on the ministers and people who have not done for the southern field the work the Lord has given them to do, who have passed by on the other side those who were their neighbors, treating them with indifference and cruel neglect. I know not how to describe the way in which the southern field has been presented to me. In this field, thousands and thousands of people are living in ignorance of the third angel's message, and they are right within the shadow of our doors. This field bears testimony to the neglect of a people who should have been wide awake to work for the Master among all classes, but who have done very little for the colored people of the South. A little work has been done there, it is true. We have touched the field with the tips of our fingers, but not 1/100th part of the work has been done that should be done. God calls upon His people to stand in a right position before Him, to heed the light given 15 years ago that the colored people be labored for and helped. My brethren and sisters, I entreat you to arouse and show a living interest in the unworked portions of the Lord's vineyard. Catch the spirit of the great master worker. His heart was ever touched with human woe. Why are we so cold and indifferent? Why are our hearts so unimpressionable? Christ placed Himself on the altar of service, a living sacrifice. Why are we so unwilling to give ourselves to the work to which He consecrated His life? Something must be done to cure the terrible indifference that has taken hold upon us. Let us bow our heads in humiliation as we see how much less we have done than we might have done to sow the seeds of truth.
To the members of our churches, I am instructed to say once more, take hold of this work now, at once, and resolutely put away all compliance with selfish desires. Come right to the merits of the case. The work among the colored people must be helped with an earnestness that is proportionate to its discouraging features. Many excuses present themselves for our not taking up this work, but these excuses are not prompted by the Holy Spirit. The sentiment prevails in some minds that when colored people are given an education, they are spoiled for practical work. Of the education given in some schools, this may be true to a certain extent, but it will not be so in the schools where the Bible is made the foundation of all education, and where the students are taught to work in the fear and love of God as their master worked. It will not be so where students follow the example of the one who gave his life for the life of the world. There are among the Negro race those who have superior natural intelligence, and who, if converted to Christ, could do a good work for their own people. Many should be given the opportunity of learning trades. Others are to be trained to labor as evangelists, Bible workers, teachers, nurses, hygienic cooks, and colporteurs. Many can be taught to be home missionaries. We ask our people to enlarge their gifts, that the training of workers may be hastened, and that the various lines of work so greatly needed may be established without further delay. Every church member should awake to the responsibility resting upon him. The colored people are to be shown that God has not left them, but that he is working that they may receive an education that will enable them to read, believe, and do the words of Christ, catching his spirit, that in turn they may work for their own people. Churches of believers are to be developed. Meeting houses are to be built. Facilities for caring for the sick are to be provided. Small books, specially prepared to meet the needs of the people, are to be given a wide circulation. In all the large cities of the South, the light of present truth is to shine forth to the colored people. And in all parts of the field, the believers, by a wise use of the talent of speech and by practical Christian help work, are to live out the truth before those who know it not. The Lord has instructed me that those who are now carrying on work among the colored people cannot remain in the field in a bare-handed condition and do the work that is required. It will be necessary for them to receive help. The Lord has been calling upon his people in the stronger conferences of the North, the East, and the West to sustain the Huntsville School by liberal gifts. We pray that he will put it into their hearts to respond nobly. And the smaller mission schools must also be sustained. In past years, this line of work has been approved and blessed of heaven, and it must now be developed and strengthened. Means must be raised for establishing the medical missionary work also, and for training and supporting ministers and house-to-house workers. Will our brethren awake to a realization of their responsibility? Will they give liberally, that the work in the South may be so established that it may be self-supporting? This world was established and is supported by the charity of a benevolent Creator. We are sustained by God's compassionate love. God is the donor of all we have. He calls upon us to return to Him a portion of the abundance He has bestowed upon us. Think of the care He gives the earth, sending the rain and the sunshine in their season, to cause vegetation to flourish. It is the great husbandman who gives life to the seeds planted in the earth. He bestows his favors on the just and on the unjust. Shall not the recipients of his blessings show their gratitude to him by giving of their bounties to help suffering humanity? Greater liberality must be shown toward the work among the colored people than has yet been shown. The families among us who have every comfort and convenience of life are to work out plans by which, through self-denial and self-sacrifice, they may help to accomplish what God has said should be accomplished. There is before us a long-neglected duty, the practice of self-denial and economy. In every transaction of life, we are to follow the example and reveal the spirit of the greatest teacher the world has ever seen. He is our example in all things. When we follow his example, we shall let our light shine forth in good works. I call upon our people in America to come up to the help of the Lord. Let those who cannot do more bring their mites, and let those who have been entrusted with more bring larger offerings. We ask fathers and mothers to make gifts for the advancement of the work in the South, and we ask them to tell their children of the blessing they will receive if they will give of their pennies and nickels and dimes.
I present this matter to you, my brethren and sisters, and I ask you to do your best on the day that the General Conference has set apart as the time when gifts are to be made for work among the colored people. By willing liberality, let us prepare the way for the laborers in the South to do a work of mercy for this people. I urge you in the name of the Lord to do something, and do it now. I pray that God will open your hearts and help you to do justice to the needs of the work for the colored people.